Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. Welcome to Bob and Yurt Live. I'm the pastor of Denver Bible Church.
And I'm Doug McBurney, the host of the Weekly Worldview.
Doug, we have to get, of course, to the mass shootings of the past week. And I think our analysis and insight, I think we could put it up against anything you're going to be able to hear on the secular conservative radio and TV networks.
Of course.
And it will be, well, the audience could judge.
Yeah, well, it'll be more valuable. It'll be more valuable. It'll be more instructive.
And it will be actual solutions rather than frustration.
Yeah.
So we'll see. We'll find out.
Yeah, so,
but first, some important stuff.
Well, I saw that you had a note here about a study where biologists were asked the question, when does life begin? Human life begin?
Yeah.
And these are biologists.
Doug, this is the University of Chicago, the largest study in history. We talked about this. You were traveling. This is so significant because when you do a study, you could ask, what color is the sky? And it's hard to get people to agree.
It's true.
But they first went to 3,000 Americans and they say, what profession is most qualified to answer the question, when does human life begin?
Yeah.
And the vast majority said biologists.
Makes sense.
They asked 3,000 people that question. Mm-hmm. So then they went to over 1,000 institutions, academic research institutions around the world, and asked over 5,000 biologists, when does life begin?
And it turns out 95%. 95% said that life begins at fertilization.
That is just so awesome,
at
right?
At the very beginning.
They didn't even say implantation, which is the Planned Parenthood birth control scam.
Well, there's a good point, right?
At fertilization.
Yes.
Of course. And this is known. Now, the 5% who didn't answer that way, what's with them?
Well, I would almost have to think that they actually aborted at least one of their own children. That's how else do you defend, deny what's so obviously scientifically provable?
Right. Biologically, textbook, we have this 95% answering that obviously politically charged question.
It is.
In the midst of this worldwide onslaught of the child killers, where you are alienated if you don't claim that we don't know when life begins.
You know, Bob, we may have just accidentally bumped sideways into one of the main roots of why it is there's all these mass killings.
Mm.
Maybe.
Because our world recognizes that a baby is a baby.
So we know that's
true.
But
they kill them anyway.
I think
that's it. So we have a culture of death.
Bob, we have not just a culture of death, we have a culture that is telling people they have to deny the truth and act against what they actually know to be true
in
their heart of hearts.
Right.
And that's dangerous for your mental health.
Yeah.
To deny reality.
Yeah.
So that's one of the things that's happening, people. People are actually losing their minds and going crazy. And this is one of the reasons they're being coerced into denying what they know is real and true on a daily basis.
Mm.
And eventually that's got to drive you nuts.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of the 95%. I don't think I've ever heard of a poll anywhere ever that was 95, especially academics, degreed people, a politically charged question. This is big news.
We put this on American Right to Life's website, AmericanRTL.org/beginning for the beginning of biological development. We put it on KGov's website at KGov.com/abortion. And we will do our part. I mean, this is as close to a consensus as anybody could ever get. That murderer down in Texas who believes in global warming, he probably believes that there's a global warming consensus because that's what the left has said 1,000 times over.
Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm. So, but this, if anything is a consensus, this is a consensus.
Yeah, this is definitely a consensus. Wow.
Yeah.
By the way, before we go any further, I just want to condemn Matt Drudge for putting the faces of these mass killers up on his site all morning.
Yeah.
When I checked it, the first thing this morning, he's got this collage of all these murderers. And Matt, that is just not helpful. That's all. It's not helpful.
Well, he doesn't have a moral compass, Matt Drudge. I mean, he can't let a day go by without linking to perversion,
well,
filth.
That's true.
He's obsessed with the porn industry.
Yeah.
I mean, that's his. That's obviously his life.
Well, he started out as like a Hollywood Reporter type guy. So,
yeah.
You know.
Right.
That all leads.
So, Doug, the mass shootings, or do we have something before we get to that?
So here's the thing is we had gotten an email from a listener asking us to give ideas on how to fix Baltimore, because last week Baltimore was the big topic.
Yeah.
But now we've got bloodshed and mass murder everywhere. Mm-hmm. But I think the two are related. So we could probably talk about Baltimore and mass shootings, and because the solutions for both
are awfully similar.
Yeah.
There's a list we have, our list of ways.
Yes.
Right? We've got 25 items on it. Our list of ways for Christians to reduce the crime epidemic.
Mm-hmm.
Actual ways, things we could actually do to fight crime.
Yep.
When you preach the gospel, that's a matter of domestic tranquility and national defense.
Amen.
It's both.
Yeah.
Amen. But those things that we can do, our list of ways, they're very specific. They're very concrete. Mm-hmm. They don't say, can't we all just get along?
No.
And let's just say no to shooting one another.
Yeah.
They don't say anything like
no,
that.
No, there's nothing.
They don't
of that.
Say all sins are equal. Nothing like any of that. Any of those worthless, powerless cliches.
No.
And Doug, with the conservatives who are now all distraught, not only because of the innocent life that was taken, and I'll give them that they care deeply about that. But their co-equal concern is how this affects Trump.
Here's the thing, Bob. Whether you're watching MSNBC or Fox News or listening to Rush Limbaugh or some left-wing nut job, it's all about Donald Trump.
Right.
Both sides.
Right. We have a Trump-centric culture, which is bizarre.
It's a Trump-centric universe.
It's one of the symptoms of democracy. It's a disease. Democracy is a disease.
Oh.
And it's the most divisive form of government ever devised.
Hmm.
It's dangerous.
Yeah.
The moral slide is virtually continuous. But I think it was Dennis Prager this morning who said, you know, his main goal is to clear Trump. That's his main goal.
Every day.
Right? It's no longer the theodicy. You know, a theodicy?
Yeah, yeah.
The defense of God. Like, how could there be a good God with so much evil in the world?
Right, right.
Well, now it's a Trump-odyssey. Everything is a Trump-odyssey.
Yeah, I agree.
Everything.
It's bizarre.
Everything is viewed in light of Donald Trump. Everything.
Yes, yes.
And so it's destructive, and millions of Christians have traded their loyalty to God to their loyalty to Donald Trump.
Oh.
Millions have.
Yeah.
And so this is all tragic, but Dennis Prager, he points out this morning that apparently the Dayton nightclub murderer was an Elizabeth Warren supporter, apparently.
All right.
And so he said, so you can't ever blame the murders on another person, any person other than the murderer. And, of course, that's totally false.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Of course.
Yeah.
How about all the suicide bombers? How about all the kids, teenagers who are sent out by their imams?
How about that?
You can only blame the one person. You can't blame anyone else. So, but that's because he's Trump-centric.
Yeah.
His primary goal is to reelect Donald Trump.
Yeah.
So everything is seen in that light.
And he's willing to cast reason aside.
Yes.
In order to
say you can't blame Donald Trump.
Yeah.
And you think the people who hate Trump are going to care that he says you can't ever blame anyone but the murderer? He's not going to convince any of them.
No.
So the only effect will make his audience more like him, more brain dead like he is on fundamental moral issues. I'm not saying he doesn't have an IQ, but democracy makes him brain dead.
Yeah.
To the extent that these issues are intertwined.
Yes, yes. And you know, lines are being drawn. When you start calling people white supremacists, you're practically saying it's okay to shoot at these people because they're white supremacists.
Yeah.
I mean, that's dangerous rhetoric, number one.
And so, Doug, I don't know. Before we talk about white supremacists, could you came in here and you said, Bob, did you look at this guy's
manifesto? Yeah, his manifesto.
So
I read his manifesto. So he's all over the board, and it seems to me now everyone is. everyone on the left is trying to imply that his main motivation was racism.
Right.
But that's not what I got from the manifesto.
Yeah.
I got from the manifesto that his main motivation was fear of climate change. That's what I got from his manifesto.
Now,
I mean, that's the only part of his manifesto where he actually mentioned killing people.
Now, you got to defend that.
Can read from the manifesto.
Okay.
He says the environment is getting worse year by year. Most of y'all are just too stubborn to change your lifestyle. So the next logical step is to decrease the number of people in America using resources. If we can get rid of enough people, then our way of life can become more sustainable.
So the Sierra Club is responsible for the mass murder in El Paso.
They're partially.
That's what you're telling me?
Well, they're,
no.
They're
no. So that doesn't sound like a right winger.
He's not a right winger.
It doesn't help to when there are problems, like, let's say, Islamic terrorism. It doesn't help when Obama would not recognize Islamic terror
true
as itself a problem.
Yeah, right. So to misidentify right. the problem is not
it
helpful.
Doesn't help. Remember the slaughter, the genocide in Rwanda? It
yes.
was the Tutsis, they were killed by the Hutus.
Yeah.
And the number is between 500,000 and 1,000,000 were slaughtered in just a couple months.
Yeah, yeah.
Just horrific.
Yeah, it was unbelievable.
And I remember at the time, a high official at the UN said, well, it's true there's been a great slaughter, but the population is still too high in Rwanda. Now, he didn't maybe mean to say that, the way, but he said it.
Yeah, that's the way it came out of his mouth.
He said it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So when the Hutus were murdering the Tutsis, was it because they were black supremacists? Was that their motivation?
Well, I doubt that because they were black and then they were killing black people.
Yeah, so the motivations to kill people, including groups of people, are many and varied, and they're not all because you're your race supremacist.
No. Yeah.
They're not. No. I mean, every war that's fought where soldiers want to kill as many as from the other country as possible, they're not all because they're your race supremacist.
No. No, in fact, almost none of them are for that.
So slaughtering people because there's too many people in this country, too many people coming into this country. He wanted to kill as many Hispanics as he could, he told the police, apparently.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that qualifies him as a racist.
Yeah.
But there are plenty of racists who don't fit into the my race supremacist category.
Right, right.
So
I'm not sure where the white supremacists are. I don't think I've ever met one.
No,
I mean,
right.
I've heard of a couple of them, but
the media has fantasized the existence of this phenomenon. They've fantasized.
Well, and it's very dangerous because it's very dangerous because people on the other side, especially people like this kid, who's terrified that he's the problem, that he's destroying the earth, and now they give him there's these white supremacists. Well, it's like opening
CNN
season on people.
Frequently will do stories on white supremacist movement.
Oh, absolutely.
And they give them the publicity that they need. Otherwise, they're a group that's virtually insignificant.
Nobody ever heard of them. Nobody hears from them. Nobody cares what they have
right.
to say.
Right.
But CNN, I don't.
So at any rate, this is like PR for white supremacy.
Yeah.
That's mm-hmm. the main effect. Now, Trump, when he is advised that he needs to come out and condemn, you know, hate speech, hate crimes, white supremacy and all, you got to condemn it.
Yeah.
Those advisors are missing the mark. We talked about this years ago on the show, even regarding this Trump-centric guy, that they're missing the mark when they say that Trump has to condemn it.
Hmm.
That reminds me of all the imams who condemn Islamic terror, and that's it.
Yeah. Well, and there are some imams who have given lip service to condemning.
Oh, yeah.
Usually all forms of terrorism. They stick in the all forms. But
the
yeah.
imams, their goal needs to be to become enemies of the jihadists.
Uh-huh.
That's their goal. Donald Trump's goal should be that he wants racists to hate him.
Yeah,
he wants, if there is 17 white supremacist groups left, splinter groups, maybe a total of 4,000 in the country, he wants them to hate him.
Good point.
So his policy, his actions, his words should be designed for them to hate him.
Hmm. Yeah.
That is the standard, not to condemn it, which is relatively meaningless.
Yeah. Who doesn't condemn that? I mean, come on. In fact, that's probably the reason Trump didn't think to come out and condemn it is because why would anyone need to come out and condemn that?
Yeah.
I mean, it's so obvious. But you know what? He's probably hasn't been given the good sound advice that you've given him. And he probably hasn't thought through the value of making evil people hate him. He probably hasn't thought that through.
Right. Now, you open your show, The Weekly Worldview.
I always say greetings to all my enemies.
Right.
Because there are certain people who I want them to be my enemy, and I want them to know that I'm their enemy.
Right.
And there's a certain value to that.
At kgov.com/about, which might be the most resource-rich about page on the entire internet.
Yeah.
It talks about all the enemies that we keep right at the very beginning.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're hated. We were deplorable before deplorable was cool.
That's right.
Here That's at Bob right. and Yurt Live. And so we're known by the enemies we keep.
Yeah, absolutely.
So
And Trump, the president of the United States, should be known by the enemies that he keeps. And I'm sure no one's told him that. Somebody needs to get him the tape of this show because he would probably see the good sense in all of that.
Yeah, and he might realize that he does have things that he needs to be forgiven for.
Hmm.
He was asked, have you ever repented? He said, for what?
Yeah.
You know, I'm Donald Trump. What would I have to repent for?
Yeah.
And maybe he could come to the Lord with that just bit of humility.
It could. That could be. And you know what's odd about that, Bob, is that if you're an actual Christian and someone who you like and you want them to be successful, and then they tell you that they've never done anything wrong and they've never said, I'm sorry to God, that should immediately become your first priority, should be to tell
vis-a-vis
them.
Vis-a-vis that person.
Yes. Your first priority for that person should switch to, I want you to be successful, to, I want you to be reconciled with God. And I want you to know that if you feel that way, that you are in error and you're in danger.
Right.
But for whatever reason, all of the evangelicals
Christian
out there.
Christian sycophants who.
They never.
They are giving Donald Trump this false sense of security that he's good with God. I mean, like Jay Sekulow, Jerry Falwell Jr., Robert Jeffress, all these guys.
Yeah, the whole list. So, young men are angry, and some of them are choosing the option of slaughtering people.
Aside from the low-hanging fruit, like, we don't know anything about this guy. You read his writing. I didn't.
I read it.
But his
scatterbrained.
Not knowing anything about him, his addiction to pornography.
Yeah.
His addiction to violent video games.
Yep.
His addiction to pot.
More than likely.
Maybe other drugs. Yep. I did see his mugshot. Did he look high to you?
He looked like he could be pretty wasted. Yeah. That looked,
right.
That would have been my guess.
And so I think often the media doesn't want to say, like the San Bernardino Islamic murderers.
Uh-huh.
We've been trying to get their autopsy for 3 years now.
Right.
All the victims' autopsies are released.
Mm-hmm.
But the sheriff's department will not release the autopsies of the two Islamic murderers.
Odd.
What kind of sensibilities does that involve?
I don't understand.
And so we have corresponded with them, and they've replied, sorry, we can't release them for whatever reason. No reason.
Yeah. Well, and you know, this brings it all back to where I started, because I mentioned Baltimore. And so when I talk about young men, mass murder, bloodshed, that applies to Baltimore as well.
Yeah.
In fact, if you take Baltimore and Chicago, there's a mass shooting equivalent once a week or so.
Mm.
There's 10, 12, 20 people killed pretty much every week.
Yeah.
So it applies to both. Reducing crime, how do we fix Baltimore? Why are all these mass shootings happening? I think there's a nexus between all of this.
With the left so angry at the way people are treated at the border, you could combine every single bit of injustice at the border, and it pales in comparison to what happens in the cities that they control.
Absolutely. On a nightly basis.
Pales in comparison.
You're right about that. Right about that. You can take all the families that were separated at the border, and they pale in comparison at the number of families separated by murder.
Right.
Right? People being killed on a daily basis in any major city in America.
Of course. Yeah, the whole discussion is upside down, lopsided, twisted, and all for, of course, political bias. Doug, in 2020, we're going to republicize our proposed Constitution for America.
Oh, I remember that.
We do that every 5 years.
Yeah, yeah.
Starting in 2000 on the internet, 2005, 10, 15. And we always take it down after a short time because it's so controversial that I don't want it to interfere with our other advocacy efforts. But this time I'm thinking maybe we'll leave it up.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, it's about time. Well, to, you know, to even suggest that we need a new constitution is heretical.
Right, because it's, so many, like the David Bartons of the world, have gotten Christians to almost worship the Constitution. I mean, there's got to be more than a million Christians who think that God inspired the Constitution.
A million?
What I'm lowballing it?
Yeah, that's being very generous. Yes, absolutely.
Right, millions.
But we could use
including
the help
including people like Sean Hannity and Glenn Beck. They're of the same religion.
Yeah.
Just not Christian.
Yeah.
So the comment I made comparing this kind of effort, fixing a broken city or culture or nation to an aquarium. You got a fish tank in your home.
Yes.
You turn it into fish stew. Relatively easy. Put a couple Bunsen burners under your 10-gallon fish tank.
Just boil them up.
And you got fish stew. Yeah. If you have a couple snails in there to keep the glass clean.
Yeah.
I mean, it might even end up being tasty. Who knows? But to turn the fish stew back into an aquarium, well, now that's pretty difficult. We can't do it.
It can't. We can't. Yeah, human beings can't
God
fix
could
that.
Do it.
Well, but God could do it.
We couldn't do it.
That's it.
But so if communism ever falls in China, how do you bring about a just economic system and actual freedom?
Oh, wow.
It's almost incomprehensible.
It's a big job.
Yeah. And really so job. All the wickedness that is ingrained in our society, our education system, our economic system, our entertainment, our music, our movie, all that.
Yeah, yeah.
And to take all that and to turn it around to where Baltimore could be a free and prosperous and just city is incomprehensible when you are limiting your viewpoint to where we're at and what is acceptable today. Where we're at and what is acceptable today means it's not doable.
Yeah.
But we're not supposed to be frustrated. We're supposed to take God's principles and advocate for them. And when people say, well, don't you know it's impossible to end slavery? You say, well, it doesn't matter that you think that. What matters is that we advocate for the truth.
Wow.
Not that we advocate for in 300 years for there to be fewer slaves. No, that's not it. We advocate for the truth that all men are created equal by God and that this kind of racial slavery is wicked. It's criminal.
Yeah.
It needs to be abolished. So in advocating that, then most churches will hate you. Most politicians will hate you. Most anti-slavery activists will hate you.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
But it was the abolitionists who were vindicated in all the other anti-slavery groups and strategies. The reality of history showed them to be failures.
So true. So the main problem appears to be that there is a lack of agreement on what is right and what is wrong and who is God. Is there a God? Who is God?
Right.
What's right? We don't agree on that anymore.
Yeah, we have in America, and we have a page, kgov.com/doubters, the scientist doubting Darwin.
No,
and, of course, there are thousands, right, who believe. And, in fact, if you look at applied biology, like MDs,
right.
You have hundreds of thousands of doctors in America who believe that God made us. God was directly involved in the origin of the human race.
Right.
So that's pretty awesome. But on that page, kgov.com/doubters, we show a Gallup survey over the last decades. And Doug, the percentage of Americans who believe that God created us in the recent past, in the last 10,000 years, has held steady in the low 40%. It's at 40% right now. And that's with the onslaught and the billions of dollars of propaganda against the scriptures in the body of Christ.
Billions of dollars and 150 years. And
it's still 40%.
That's pretty
impressive.
Two
out of five Americans for public school teachers tuning in right now by accident.
Right.
But the number of atheists in the country, or those who believe that God had no part in the origin of mankind, has more than doubled from about 1980, 9%, to now over 20%.
Wow.
So we have this significant materialist, atheistic undercurrent in America that has been increasing.
Yeah.
And with the dissolution of the family, 70% of blacks are born outside of a family.
Yeah.
The use smoking pot in young people, prolonged adolescence to where guys are addicted to pornography and video games, and they don't mature until they're in their 30s.
If ever, yeah.
If ever. Yeah. We don't know where this is going to end.
Mm, no, well, this has never happened in human history.
These things are new.
Right. This is all
technology new. Technology has put an edge to all the wicked tendencies.
Yes, yes. And so,
yeah.
I'm convinced that at some point, all people will be brought to a place of agreement on who is God and what is right and what is wrong. So, but some people don't get there via repentance. Some people just have to be terrified enough. And I believe that, that's coming, that enough people are going to either repent or they're going to be terrified enough that we're going to agree on what's right and wrong and we're going to get back to some sort of sanity.
Well, after 9/11, remember that the whole nation ran to the gay bars?
No, I don't recall that, as a matter of
fact. That's not what they did?
I bet the gay bars had their worst weekend in history.
Oh, they went to 9/11. The churches.
That's where they went, the church.
And the churches were packed.
They were.
After 9/11.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, but that effect wears out quickly.
Well, yeah, but here's the thing, is that there's a young man ready to detonate on a daily basis,
right,
in America.
Yeah.
And so what the Islamists can do to us, that's nothing compared
to the destruction we bring on ourselves.
Yeah.
Totally true.
Yeah.
And that from homosexuality, sexual immorality generally, and from, you know, getting high, and from entertaining yourself almost to death. Yeah. All these things produce depression. Right. Wow. Pornography produces depression.
Yeah.
On another radio show in the mornings, Ross Kaminsky.
Kaminsky, yes.
He's on what station is he?
He was on this morning defending video games. That was his.
All he could, the people who suffer with sexual
dysfunction.
They must gravitate to his show because he advertised. That's all he advertised. His only advertisement is for men who can't perform.
Now that you mention it,
Doug,
so true.
Either they're all attracted to his show, or his show makes them sexually dysfunctional. One or the other. Tune into Ross Kaminsky, and that's pretty much the end of your life.
That's it. It's all over.
I mean, how could it be?
Wow.
His entire career is funded by ED.
Yeah, that's just
what's
bizarre.
With that guy?
Well, that's an interesting observation.
When you promote a materialist worldview where we're just the animals.
Which he does.
And pornography is perfectly okay, And then, of course, men become dysfunctional, including, you know, that is emotionally. And depression is a part of that worldview. It's a part of when you tell kids for decades that they're animals, and then you're shocked when some of them act like animals. What a fool you are. What a fool.
Amen.
So thank you, Doug McBurney. Hey, God bless you guys.